Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you recall, chapters 12, 13, and 14 must be studied as one unit. The problem of worship is a very big and serious problem. It is one thing to have a problem in a person's life, but it is a disaster when the problem is at the church level. And when the worship service is in disarray, as you can see in chapter 14, it is a big problem. When Christianity came to Singapore, it had already existed for hundreds of years. When God gave the second birth to Christianity through the 16th century Reformation in 1517, Protestantism was born, and very soon the church developed, and the order of service within the church became more and more organized, so that when the Christian faith came to Singapore, the missionaries brought with them the order of service the moment that there were believers in Singapore. And so we do not need to invent our own order of service. We have to tweak it to make sure that we understand the reason and the significance of the order of services. We have order of service for Sunday worship, for vigil services, for weddings, and they are all different. But the principle has to be Bible-based. And so when you look at our order of service every Sunday morning, do you ask yourself, why is it organized in this manner? From the very beginning, right up to before the pastoral prayer, you realize that it is a worship from man to God. We come, we sing praises. We come, we bring offerings. But after pastoral prayer, it is now from God to man, where the word of God will be spoken. And that's why we dismiss our children just before the pastoral prayer, or just before the second hymn before pastoral prayer, or the hymn before pastoral prayer. Because the children continue in worship. That's why we call it not Sunday school, junior worship. Where now all, youngest to the oldest, will now receive the word of God. The children will be receiving God's word through the teachers. And the teachers must bear in mind that what they are doing is to impart the word of God to the children as part of worship. It's a continuation of worship. They did not have this kind of organization in the early church. You can just imagine what it would have been like in Acts chapter 2. After the preaching of Peter, Peter must have been stunned like you and me. Because 3,000 believers suddenly say, we want to accept Christ. They never had that kind of crowd accepting Christ when Christ was with them on earth in the gospel. Sure, they were a great multitude. But most of them were not believers. That's why Jesus Christ deliberately spoke to them and taught them in parables that at the end of it, they said, we do not know what this man is talking about. Let us leave. He wanted only truly born-again believers to follow him for the right reason. Many of them followed him because they were amazed by the miracles. They followed him because they have free food. Who doesn't want to follow Jesus Christ where every disease will be healed? But in the day of the Pentecost, suddenly 3,000 became believers. And so what do you think the disciples ought to do? They come together on the first day in the Temple Mount, which was the only place in Jerusalem large enough to accommodate 3,000 believers. What are they going to do now? And so when you study the last few verses of Acts 2, you find the key elements of what every church must have, because that's what they did. There was the Lord's Supper, there was baptism, there was Christian fellowship, there was the sharing of their belongings, and of course there was the teaching of God's word and the preaching of God's word. And so that's why you find that in every church, these are the key elements that must exist. But that does not help us in the order of service. And so the early church in the church in Corinth had this difficulty and problem. Now remember, tongues simply means the word of God in a foreign language. Prophecies simply means the word of God in the language of the people. Now that's what you must remember when you look through this chapter 14. Paul is now going to deal with the problem, deal with the abuse. The abuse was too many foreign languages within the worship service. That was the problem. No gibberish. Too many people want to speak the word of God in a foreign language. And that's how the Apostle Paul started, reminding them, remember, your motive has to be love. Do it because of the agape love. Don't ever forget that. The one and only motive that is acceptable to God and that will last a lifetime is to be constrained by the love of Christ in all that we do for the exercise of our gifts in order to bless brothers and sisters in Christ. And so now he's going to arrest the problem. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Why do you want to speak the word of God in another language in this congregation in Corinth? That was the problem. No one in the church in Corinth understands what you are saying, even though it is the word of God, but nobody understands you. You only speak to yourself. You alone understand. And God understands you, but nobody else. Why do you want to do it? He that prophesieth, but the person who speaks the word of God in the language of the congregation, they speak to people who can understand, which will result in edification, which is the building up of their faith, exhortation, which is to comfort broken hearts, and comfort means to convince people of the right way to live. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, you only edify yourself because you alone understand what you are saying, because that's what conversation is. That's what a language is. The person who speaks the language, he alone understands. So you will be blessed by the word of God that you speak in another language where nobody understands, you do. But the person who speaks the word of God in the language of the people, that's prophecy, he edifies the whole congregation. Now you ask yourself, remember chapter 12? What was the original purpose of God giving us gifts? For the blessing of others. I would that you all speak with tongues. Because it is a good thing to be able to speak multiple languages. Because then you can share the gospel in multiple languages. But rather that ye prophesy to speak the word of God. Remember the context is worship. For greater is he that prophesieth, that he speak the word of God in the language of the people, that he speaketh with tongues, except when tongues are interpreted. Now remember, Paul says all gifts are important. That's why he has to be very, very careful that he does not contradict himself in chapter 12. He said that all spiritual gifts are of equal importance. Remember, the eye cannot say, I don't want the mouth cannot say, I don't want the ear. And so therefore, he cannot say that the tongues are better than prophecy. That's why he says the tongues are not as good as prophecy unless the tongues are interpreted. That means when you speak the word of God, if you do not speak it with interpretation, why speak it at all? Because nobody is built up in the faith, because they can't be built up in the faith when they don't understand you. Verse 6, now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? A rhetorical question. So if I were to come to you and I do not speak the word of God that you understand, what is the point? What is the purpose? It makes no sense. None whatsoever. Tavet et avika. Vaet imeka lama'an. Ya'arukun, yameka al adama, asher Yehovah Eloheka naten lake. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tinof, lo taaf, baraeka ed shaker. What did I say? See, what's the point? You know that I just read to you part of the Ten Commandments? This is from the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. That means, even if God were to give us the Ten Commandments written in His finger, just as He gave it to Moses, and if He were to pass it down to all of us, what is the point? Because the Word of God was meant for understanding, so that it will result in obedience. That is what gifts are for, to build up the lives of brothers and sisters in Christ. So why do you want to come to the church and then you want to show off your language skill that nobody understands? That was the problem in the church in Corinth. That's why Paul had to deal with this in a very careful manner. And then at the end of this chapter, he will regulate worship. That's why he says, if you want to speak in another language in the worship, maximum two or three. And that's what we have been doing, maximum two. Every Christmas, every watch night service, we have two. Maximum three. So if we have a very strong, let's say, Bahasa ministry, and let's say this ministry continues to mushroom and grow, bigger and bigger. And so they say, we have 200 members now in our Bahasa ministry. Can we also have a third language interpreter? So I speak in English, the interpreter interpret into Mandarin, and then there will be a third one interpret into Bahasa. Maximum three. And then let's say God bless us now with the Myanmar ministry also. So now they also have 200 members. They say, can we also have the Myanmar language, because we also want to join and attend the watch night service to take the Lord's Supper on the last day of the year as we all begin the new year. The BOE says, the Bible says maximum three, brother. We cannot have four. Imagine if you have four. I speak in English and then Mandarin and then I wait for Bahasa and then wait for Myanmar. I forget what I just said. You also will forget what I just said. Imagine, you just imagine that. That's why Paul says maximum three, no more. To regulate the order of service. The abuse at worship level is a disaster. That's why Paul had to nip it in the bud. And he had to do it carefully to educate them and to teach them so that they will understand and be convicted. I mean, he could just simply bypass chapters 12 and 13 and assert his authority. This is the order of service. Just follow. He didn't want them to follow blindly. He wanted them to understand the reason. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues, just simply the word of God in another language. Imagine if you can speak the word of God in multiple languages. You are indeed a great blessing. Imagine you can speak the word of God in French, in Arabic, in English, in Malay, in Myanmar, in Japanese, in Korean. Seven languages. You know how useful you are to the ministry? But if you use this during worship and nobody understands you, then it becomes an abuse. That was the problem. And they did it. They were doing it in the church in Corinth. And that's why Paul was so concerned. And that's why Paul had to tell them. Even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? When people play an instrument, each and every one of them gives a distinctive sound. The piano will make a piano sound. The violin, the harp, they all give their own individual sound. So why would different languages not give a proper sound whereby people ought to understand? Because if you think very carefully, languages are basically making sounds, you know. But just now when I read in Hebrew, okay, this is a Hebrew Bible that we use. I can also read the Greek. Basically, they are just sounds. That's why when I attend the Mandarin service, I have to speak there every third Sunday because of the Lord's Supper. They are making sounds as far as I'm concerned because I don't understand Mandarin. I mean, now I improve a little bit. Maybe now slightly under 10%, 9.5% now. When I see the words projected on the wall, when they sing, I just observe and follow what they are singing. I aga aga. Some words I understand, some, most of them I don't understand, but they are just making sounds. Languages are basically a man making sound. But when the person understands the language, the sound there has meaning. Horse. It's a sound, you know, horse. It's a sound, right? But if you speak English, the horse is a sound. And so you know what I'm talking about, and in your mind, you will conjure up the image of a horse. Zebra. That's a sound. Now, a person who doesn't understand English, horse. What is he? Horse. He's making a sound. If he doesn't understand English, it's just a sound and means nothing to him. That's why the Apostle Paul wants to drive home the point, do not disrupt the worship. Do not abuse the gift and use it to show off. Love will stop you from doing that. For if the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? You study the book of Numbers, you realize there is a section that describes the many different ways of blowing the trumpet in Jewish life. They blow for worship. They blow to remind them of the Sabbath. They blow for the feast. They blow for retreat in battle. They blow for advancement in battle. Every form and every manner, that was how they rallied the people. And so in worship, how can people join you and rally with you when they do not know what you are talking about? So likewise, ye except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye are just talking to the air. Nobody knows what you are doing. Nobody would blow the trumpet any way they like, because the purpose is to now tell the people Sabbath day has come. Let us all stop work and begin a day of rest. Now it is time for retreat in battle. Let us retreat. Now it is time to advance. The right flank, advance. The left flank, advance. Verse 10 to 12 is our focus. The Apostle Paul continues the argument. He knows that we live and we will impact people. And that's why he says, you and I must seek to edify. The word seek there to look for something that is hidden, something that is not obvious, which means you need to be consciously aware of it. You have to put in effort to find it. Just like when you are looking for something that is lost, you try to trace back what you have done. What were your steps? And then maybe by recalling your steps, you can figure out the places that you need to backtrack and find that lost, expensive, precious item. It could be your ring. It could be whatever. Still remember many, many years ago when we were, I think, in, I can't remember which part of Australia. I think it was Sydney. We were with some of our church people. And then we were traveling and looking, stopping along the coast to look at the scenery and look at the beaches and so on. It was winter time and it was cold. And then while we were in the car, Angie lost her ring. And so we tried to backtrack in the one of the beaches in Australia, in Sydney. One tiny little ring. And so we tried to backtrack and backtrack. Of course, both of us, we pray very hard that she will not lose her, you'll find it. And thank God we found it. But we backtrack. We really have one agenda. And the purpose was, describe to us what it looked like. So Angie described. And then we backtrack and we search. Look at the sand, you know, the fine sand on the beaches. You know how hard it is to find it. By God's grace, we're so happy to thank God to find it. That's the idea. Put in the effort. Know what you're looking for. That's the idea of seek to edify. Now, you know what the meaning of the word edify is. Literally, it means to build up, like someone building up a house. In this case, you build up the lives of people. So you know what you're looking for. Your life is now to build up the lives of other people. Not just any other people. We're talking about within the church, which means brothers and sisters in Christ. Out in the world, you cannot build up the lives of sinners unless they become believers. What the world out there needs is Christ. They don't need their lives to be built up, because they have no life, because they are without Christ. The lives that they want to build up are all made of real, literal bricks and mortars and stones that they are home out there. Their lives cannot be built up because it has no foundation, which is Christ. It is idolatrous. And so you do not build up the lives of people out there. You give them the gospel to save them so that they can have the foundation in Christ to build up their lives. To build up the life of a believer means to help believers be a better witness and testimony. That's the meaning of the word edification or edify. So your life, especially in the church, which include what we do in our homes for Bible studies when we gather together during the course of the week. You see how in the weekly we have many weekly Bible studies. What's the purpose? The purpose is to give more avenues for God's people to be built up in their holy witness for Christ. Because we assume that they are already believers, where the foundation is already Christ. And now they are to build up their lives. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians, remember the early chapters? Every believer's lives are made up of two types of material. One type that will last for eternity. The Apostle Paul described them as gold, silver, precious stone. The other type, wood, hay, and stubble. The type that are made of wood, hay, and stubbles are those aspects and times and areas of our lives whereby we are not constrained by the life of Christ in the way that we live. We are constrained by selfish motives. We are motivated by carnal things. And so that will be called a wood, hay, and stubble. If I stand here to preach the word of God to promote myself, for personal gain and glory, to start a Kwek Suan Yew ministry, where I insist that in the church website, there must be a Kwek Suan Yew profile, whereby I become the emphasis, it's not Christ, it's not the Bible. There is a big problem. I might be preaching the word of God, and you may be blessed by the word of God. But as far as God is concerned, when he looks down at my life and my ministry, all these years of ministering and preaching will be categorized under wood, hay, and stubble, because I did it to promote self and not Christ. That's what your life and my life ought to be in the church. That's why God gave us spiritual gifts, to build up the lives of others. That's why the Bible said that we are co-laborers with God. And we are also at the same time the building. When I use my gift, you are blessed. In this experience, I am the builder, laborer together with God, and you are the building. When you use a spiritual gift with God's help, you are now co-laboring with God, and I'm receiving your service. Now I become the building when you use your spiritual gift. And that's why this two-way is exactly what spiritual gifts are meant to be. But the two gifts that were abused thrust people into the limelight. They want publicity. That was the problem in the church in Corinth. And so Paul had to arrest this problem. That's why he said to them, you have to be constrained by the love of Christ. That means you must do what is right because you love your brothers and sisters in Christ in wanting them to become better and more holy in their witness for Christ. Because when they go into the world, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours or more, you and I are bombarded by the forces of the world, it is understandable that some of us will become casualty. We can become lovers of the world. We become carnal because the carnality that we are exposed to is incessant. They don't stop. They enter into our five senses. They enter into our eye gate. They are called advertisements. They enter into our ear gate. Whenever you enter into a shop to buy some garments, the music is played. Those musics are bad for us, but they continue to play them. As you browse around, they play those music to hopefully to entice us, to loosen our purse strings, to buy items. It's all pre-planned and programmed. And then you have all the words, the advertisement, you buy two, you get one free. Wow, so good. So we are enticed. And when we are enticed, we never ask ourselves, do I really need that? Do I really need this? No, but it's a good deal. You just buy it. And very often you buy it, you bring it home, you put it in a storeroom, and then next year, Chinese New Year, when you start spring cleaning, oh yeah, I got all these things. I don't know what to do with it. Well, you bought them because you buy two, you get one free. That's why. We are all affected by the world. And that's why coming together, we need to build up each other's faith. That's why you have to purposely, consciously seek to edify. When you use your gift, which means you have to sacrifice. You have to give time. You have to put in effort. It does not just simply come naturally. That's why you have to seek to edify the church. That's one another. And so, Paul says, you look at verse 10 and 11. In order to seek, it must begin with understanding. How can you help to build somebody up when the mind is not built up? Because the mind must be involved whenever you want to build up the faith. Because build up the faith means the person now becomes more and more like Christ in his thinking. And so he continued to cite first inanimate subjects like pipe, harp, trumpet. Now he talks about voices. Verse 10, There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. That means without a message, without a meaning, without understanding. There are so many, but they all have a meaning. That's why they are called languages. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I don't know what you are saying, I shall be to him the speaker, the barbarian. Just now when I read the word of God in Hebrew, was I not a barbarian to you? All you hear is a word sound. Blah, 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 blah. You don't know what I'm talking about until I tell you that that would be part of the Ten Commandments. And then suddenly it becomes clear, even though you still do not understand it, but because I explained to you the meaning. It's part of the Ten Commandments. The thou shalt not section. The first one that I read was honor your father and your mother. And he the speaker shall be a barbarian unto me. So the first thing you do when you seek to edify the church is seek understanding. Whatever your gift, whatever the ministry, and in this particular context, it is to speak the word of God. Speak so that the person can understand you. If you speak first language that nobody understands, and then you speak two or three other languages, we would rather you speak your third language where your communication of God's word is in broken language, but at least the person understands. Now, let's say I try to share the gospel in Mandarin to someone, but I'm more fluent in English. Let's say I'm very fluent in English and I can speak it very smoothly and very cleverly in English, but the person doesn't understand English. But I want the person to know the gospel. So do I speak the gospel in the language that I'm very fluent with? No problem, I just speak it in English, but he doesn't understand a single word. Or should I try to speak to him the word of God in my third language, which is Mandarin? My second language is Bahasa. You know that, right? I studied Bahasa right up to O-level, Sec 4. Of course, now I forgot everything because I don't have any opportunity to use the language other than to read it once in a while. Whenever you go to Malaysia, the signage, you know, you read it, Selamat Datang. So you also know, you see? You also know, Selamat Datang. And then I use it when I buy food once in a while. But my third language is Mandarin. So let's say I try to speak and share the gospel in Mandarin. Now, of course, if I were to do it now from the pulpit, you all will burst out laughing. But if it's one-to-one, it's serious. It's serious because I'm trying to share the gospel with a person who speaks only Mandarin. And my language of Mandarin, as you know, xiao mao mao, tiao tiao tiao, and I think that also wrong. Also, the tone is wrong. So how am I going to share the gospel? Well, how to say sin? How to say God? How to say Christ? So all these things will probably come out in bits and pieces, all upside down. But at least the person can get the gist of it. The understanding part is crucial. Because if there's no understanding, no matter how fluent you are, and if it is the word of God, even written by the finger of God, also no use. Because the purpose of God giving us his word is understanding, which will result in obedience. In the case of a sinner, conversion. In the case of brothers and sisters in Christ, to build them up in the faith so that they can become better witnesses for the Lord, because that's exactly what the church is supposed to do. Out in the world, you fight God's battle in Satan's territory, where he is the God of this world and he has blinded the hearts of many, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You come into the church where Christ is the head, where the Bible is the rule book, where God's children come and they feel very at home inside the church because he is amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, where everything is according to the word of God, from the way we worship, from the way all the ministries are conducted. They are according to the word of God, and he feels very comfortable. He doesn't have to be on guard all the time. He is now at home, just like you. When you are at home, in your own home, in the comforts of home, you wear your shorts and your singlet, and you sit down with your leg up, and you just simply relax, because this is home. And then with the lemonade by your side, you just simply relax. You can't do that in your office. You cannot just simply, I'm in the office, I'm out of the blue, talking to your boss, you start disrobing and take off your shirt, and then start in your shorts, and then your singlet, sit there and put your leg up and sip your lemonade. And then the boss is just there. The boss thinks you something wrong. He sent you home or somewhere else. At home. And the church is supposed to be the home. That's what it's supposed to be. But when you have people coming in and abuse it, showing off their gifts, the home become a circus. The home become another battleground. You just imagine how hard it is when you're out there, it's already a battleground. When you come in here, it's a battleground. Where do I go to be comforted, to find peace and tranquility on this earth? You hide somewhere, and then it's just you and me. But that's not what it's all about. It has to be you and me. You and God, that's fine. But it's also all of us together as a church. That's why God gave us the church. You don't want your home where mom and dad quarrel all the time. You go to school, you face bullies, you face bad, naughty children, your classmates make fun of you, mock you whenever you say grace, whenever you do what is Christian. You expect it. And then when you come home, mom and dad quarrel. You know how hard it is for the child? There is no peace. Home is supposed to be the place where he can be himself. But then mom and dad quarrel. And he finds the home that was supposed to be a fortress of solitude and comfort has now become another battleground and between two persons that he loved more than life. It breaks his heart. And so the child will be devastated because there is no time where he could simply rest and be at peace. Battle in the school playground and classroom with his studies. And then come back home, hear mom and dad quarrel and fight. You don't want that in the church as well, in the spiritual realm. And that's why it is a serious problem when the problem is church size. You speak the word of God that nobody understands. So seek understanding when you seek to edify, because it begins with understanding. And that's why speak a language that people can understand. Use a spiritual gift that will build up and not tear down. Because there are some people who are very good in tearing down. They have the gift of speaking. They have the gift of playing music. They have the gift, but they show off. They have the gift of teaching, but they project themselves. They run down other teachers. They run down other preachers. They run down other pianists. They run down others in the process of portraying their superb ability and their gifts. Don't do that. Do to build up, because that's the meaning of the word edifying. Build up a house. And this house is the lives of people. And the lives of the people bears the image of Christ, because they are not just ordinary people. They are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, whom He redeemed with Christ's precious blood. And you and I must exercise our gift toward that purpose and toward that end. To build them up so that the image of Jesus Christ in them will become sharper and clearer and become more and more focused. Because the world will try to dim it. The world will try to mar it. That's why the world will try to get Christians to sin. To get Christians to become carnal. Then they will mar and distort the image of Christ. When they come back into the church is supposed to provide an environment whereby the image that has been marred and blurred and dirtied by the carnality of the world, the word of God is supposed to sanctify them and clean them up so that the image of Christ will once again become sharp and clear and visible. That when they go back out, it will be visible and sharp and clear again. That's why the Lord's Day is so important. That's why the ministries that we have on Saturday are so important, because we need all the help we can get. And the church is supposed to avail all these to you. That's what membership is. That's what this church is supposed to help you to become. Because we want you to bear the image of Christ that is sharp and visible. So that when you preach the gospel, it is backed up by a life of holiness in Christ. That will give you the strength and the power, not one of hypocrisy, but one of sincerity and transparency. But when the worship service is a mess, you don't even want to invite your friends to come for worship, because you come, you hear barbarians. You hear confusion. You see confusion. And that's why Paul says, even so, ye, all of you, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gift, it is good to be very fervent and zealous in using our gifts. But remember, always use it to edify, that you may excel. Not just edify, you may superabound in the building up of the lives of God's people in the church. All of us have only two areas of ministry, out in the world and in the church. Out in the world, point sinners to the Savior. In the church, edify, build up brothers and sisters in Christ's lives. Sure, Satan will penetrate and send in his wolves in sheep's clothing, his angels of light. He will continue to send in the tares. That's why all of us, especially the leaders, have to be vigilant. Because enemies from inside are more dangerous than enemies from outside. You know that. You have experienced that. Because enemies from inside, we build relationships, friendship. And the danger is we allow our individual horizontal relationship and friendship to color our objective judgment. And when our objective judgment is colored, we will not do what is right. That's why God tells us that if we are to be good and godly Christians, we must make judgments that must not respect faces. We must judge both the great and the small, regardless of who they are. Why? Because the judgment is God's. We are making God's judgment. And that is why it is so important that we keep the church a place of safety and tranquility where brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, can come in and be built up in the faith before they are thrust out into the world again from Monday to Saturday. And then come back in every Lord's Day for worship, for the study of God's word, for fellowship, to mutually encourage one another in the things of the Lord. But when there is disruption, like people speaking the word of God in languages that nobody understands, you come, you will find that this is a waste of my time. I would rather not come to this church. But it's the point. They speak with such fervency and zeal, but I don't understand a single word of what the person is saying. And so for the rest of the chapter, he will now teach us what to do when the word of God has to be spoken in a foreign language. What is the procedure that we ought to do it? Because in a Gentile society, which is what Singapore is, you will have a cosmopolitan society where there will be people speaking multiple languages, foreign languages. And so that was the case in the church in Corinth, because Corinth was a cosmopolitan city, very much like Singapore. And so from verse 13 onwards, he will teach us how to use the gift of speaking the word of God in another language in worship. Let us seek to build up each other's faith and not to destroy. Let us use our gifts with all the zeal that God has enabled us, but do so with one purpose, to help one another to become better believers for Christ. Don't bring down, build up. For Jesus' sake, let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we ponder and think through our life thus far as a Christian. From the day you accepted us into the family of God through Jesus Christ, when you saved us, help us to recall and reflect all these many years we have called ourselves Christians. How much of our lives have been a blessing to others, have brought edification to the church in building up the lives of children, of men and women. If it had been few, O Lord, forgive us. For we know that if it had been few, most of our lives have been made up of wood, hay, and stubble. And it will be revealed on the day of judgment, and it will be consumed, and it will be wasted. Help us not to waste it anymore. Help us, O Lord, to be convicted that we will no longer build our lives with Christ as a foundation, using wood, hay, and stubble, but to use gold, silver, precious stone, constrained by the love of Christ, and with the desire to build up the lives of others by our sacrifice, by our time of service, Let us begin at home. Let us continue from home to church, to school, to workplaces, wherever you send us. May we truly point people to our Savior by our good works, constrained by the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unconditionally and with sacrifice, we live for Him, for He has given to us His all when the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and rose from the dead for our justification. May we also live and die for our Savior before we see Him face to face in the glorified body. Be merciful, Lord, to keep this church a haven of rest, where brothers and sisters in Christ may come and find in this church the ministries that will help them to edify and to build them up in the most holy faith. For we know that without Thy enabling, we can do nothing. Be merciful to keep us faithful even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.